Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith. Thank you for joining me as we have been looking at some lessons to be learned from the book of Haggai, one of the minor prophets, that first chapter, the first 14 verses. We haven't gotten very far yet. I should mention, if at any point you miss a broadcast or would like to re-listen, please feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org. You can click on the broadcast and listen anytime at your convenience. We've been working on this. We're attempting to get more of, I have a few of Brother Glass's messages, his sermons, that we're going to try to make available on the broadcast. Ministry Classics is already there. But anyway, because I still get requests over the years. For those of you who remember Brother Glass, oh my goodness, that man could preach, couldn't he? He brought the presence of God into the service. Amen. Hallelujah. Good times. But you know what? While we can look back and think of wonderful times in our own life, and that happens more the older you get, but just think of the glorious times that await us, the times of celebration. All your loved ones, those who have gone on, people you've known, and they've gone on home to be with the Lord, can you imagine what a party we're going to have? I can hardly wait. I've often said, my feet have been founded on terra firma. In other words, I trust I am led by the Spirit of God. You better be if you're in ministry. But I haven't seen Jesus. I haven't seen angels. I haven't had supernatural experiences. I've often said, if I think I saw Jesus, or if Jesus came to visit me, I'd probably be good for nothing. But anyway, you see, God, He knows how to deal with each one of us. And I've always claimed that scripture, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I mean, come on, if Jesus comes and takes you to heaven, or appears in your bedroom while you're praying, you don't need a whole lot of faith for that. But anyway, let's go back to the subject at hand. We're looking at Israel. And what happened? They weren't doing very well. In verse 2, and this is as far as we've got as far as sharing with you, it says, the people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house shall be built. And what happened? What was going on with the people of Israel? Because of the opposition, because of the problems they were having, they just settled back into just let me survive mode. And then once they got, because things kind of stayed in the status quo, then they became much more concerned about their own life. Now, I don't know about you, beloved, but discouragement and a defeated attitude can be at times very much a part of our Christian experience. You know, what happened to them? The same thing happens to us. Human nature has not changed. They basically became lukewarm and indifferent in their worship with God. Or some of them, I'm making a blanket statement, but they perhaps were so discouraged because of their efforts that no matter what happened, nothing was working out. Beloved, if that's your situation, understand that God has a perfect time, just as He did for the people of Israel. Have I ever been discouraged, depressed, disheartened? Yes. And you know what, beloved? I'm in good company. Elijah, he just wanted to go hide in a cave. He said, take my life, Lord. I'm not better than my father's. Look at Jeremiah. He said, God, you've deceived me. And I was deceived. Trust me, the great prophets of old, the great heroes of the Bible, they all faced discouragement. Why? Because we are creatures of time, beloved. God sees the past, the present, aware of everything going on in the present of every human life, whether they know God or not, and He knows the future. We don't know the future. That's why our faith comes in, why it's so important. And so, you know, they had become discouraged. They accepted their subject role and resigned themselves to making themselves comfortable. That's kind of what we do. We enter into survival mode. Just do what we have to do. Okay. There's not a whole lot of fun or joy or excitement in that, but at least you're being faithful. At least you can say that. So let me read now verses 3 and 4. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you, O ye," he's talking to the people of God, "to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Now, in Ezra, the 4th chapter, verse 21, Artaxerxes had issued a decree which disallowed the building of Jerusalem. You know, their enemies were successful. He said, stop it. You know, they searched the record. Yes, it was a rebellious city. And so that's what happened. The work stopped. And yet, this decree had not hindered them from building the magnificent residences for themselves. And, you know, sometimes we read the Old Testament, we think, boy, the Jews were really not too smart. How could they see all those miracles looking exactly at those that were, you know, Moses brought out of Egypt? Beloved, we are the same way. We have seen, you may not have seen, you know, a wall of water stand on end, yet how many times has God rescued you? How many times when you were, as Brother Glass used to say, lower than a grasshopper's belly, when you just didn't have any strength, didn't have any energy, almost didn't care, God intervened and He picked you up just because He loves you. Right? And so let's not think harshly of anyone, even in the life in that we're now living. You know, sometimes a Christian falls, they backslide, you know, they go back into the world. Let's not judge them harshly. Let us forgive them and restore them with the love of God. Aren't we the same way? You know, well, you know, we have to attend to the pressing and immediate business affairs of, the business or your work employment. That could be all lost. And of course, you know, for the ladies, family has to be given first place. You know, we owe it to them, don't we? Besides, isn't that what God's word exhorts us to do? We're only young once. Therefore, we give the preeminence to education, recreation. We have time for everything so often, but to consider the serious things of the Spirit of God. And, you know, when you think about it, maybe they did just feel, some of them, a little guilty. You know, it was on their minds because they were making excuses. In the 14th chapter of Luke, I'd like to start reading at verse 16. These are the words of Jesus. "Then said he unto him," well, before I read that, verse 15 said, he was sitting down at a meal, Jesus was, and someone asked him, or said unto him, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Yeah, that sounds pretty good, right? And then said he unto him, this was Jesus' response, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many," and in other words, invited many people, "and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused." You know, legitimate what? Excuse. "Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them, and I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things." In all these things, they were attending to the affairs of their own life and choose to decline the invitation of this man that was making a great feast. "Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in," notice the urgency of the time, "go out quickly. the supper was ready, right? Into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay, can we relate to that? And the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And I leave you to make your interpretation of what verse 24 says. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Ending the words of Jesus. So I don't know. I think I would definitely want to respond to any invitation, any promise, any command, any request the Lord presents to me. And, you know, so often we can rely on grace, and grace is wonderful. I know I've heard it preached, you know, Romans, the 8th chapter, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, period. There's not a period in my Bible. It says, comma, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 13 says, for if ye live, this is, just read the rest of the chapter, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Basically, in verse 9, he says, you're not in the flesh if you're in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. But then, after justification, beloved, there is a period of sanctification, and that's, it's in, yes, it's God's grace, it's God's mercy, it's God's repentance, forgiveness to us. You know, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father who's just and faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we cannot crucify the Son of God afresh. We cannot continue on in deliberate sin, expecting that grace is going to cover it. That, I mean, that's how I read that. If you don't mortify the deeds of the body, it says you shall die. So as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's a hard word. You know, Jesus spoke some very hard sayings many times, various times. I said, disciples would say, who were his disciples? This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? But if we are open, if we are willing to walk in love and obedience and to be in grateful gratitude for all the things Jesus has done for us, we'll be more than willing, because of our love relationship with our Savior, to do whatever he asks. Well, beloved, my time is gone, and we will continue on tomorrow's broadcast. It looks also we're going to probably take next week or so. So anyway, hope you can join us. Until then, I love you, pray for you every day, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.